concept that ragtime is piano music.
Yes, thank you.
What about the structure?
Oh, very good. I'm glad you pointed that out. The structure of the instrumental rag follows exactly a structure established in Europe in the middle of the 19th century, which you find in march music and other kinds of music, and waltzes, in which the sections are generally 16 measures long, and they're repeated. So you have the first section, the second section, then the repeat of the first section, and then a trio section, which is the third section, and then either a fourth section or a repeat of one of the previous sections. This was the pattern in almost all Sousa marches and any march and European dance music of that era. And so ragtime instrumental music followed that pattern. But in terms of ragtime songs, they didn't have a set structure, although I would say most of them are 16 measures long. The chorus is 16 measures. The verse could be of any length, usually 16 or 24. Although Alexander's ragtime band is 32 measures long. So Irving Berlin was very innovative and was creating new forms that would later become standard. So that is the structure. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the separation that people say Alexander's ragtime band really isn't a rag.
Yeah, well, that's why stupid people said that. It's because they didn't want to collect it. It wasn't because it's so popular, so many copies were sold, it wasn't a big deal to have that in your collection. It was a big deal to have an original Maple Leaf rag in your collection. And you had to point out why it was so special and what was so different from Alexander's ragtime band. But everyone in the ragtime era would have agreed that Alexander's ragtime band is a rag. To have told that to anyone, the man on the street, would have gained you a look as if you were the craziest person on earth. Yes, sir?
Well, what makes a ragtime song a ragtime song as opposed to just a regular song?
I think there was no difference. You would have no one would have really been able to answer that question. Although there were certainly ballads, sentimental songs that were not meant to be danced to. Those probably would not be necessarily called rags. But generally, anything you could dance to was considered ragtime. Yes, Smiley.
Explain Nickelodeon theater just in depth a little bit more.
A Nickelodeon theater was a theater that only cost a nickel to get into, and you would see a mixture of performances and entertainment. So you would have movies that would last maybe 5 or 10 minutes long, and in between movies, you would have live singers or dancers, and frequently the singers were singing to what were called illustrated song slides. So they would be singing a ragtime song. Actually, this is from an illustrated song slide of the a song called At the Ragtime Ball. And so a singer would be singing the songs, you'd have these wonderful illustrated pictures, and then the sheet music would be on sale in the lobby, all to encourage the sale of music. And so that was what the Nickelodeon was. It was a mixture of entertainments, and you could come in and stay as long as you wanted, and every 5 minutes there'd be something new to watch and listen to. Yes, sir?
Mentioned ragtime is a style.
Yes.
I'm wondering about the lyrics. Was there a style to the lyrics, or were they just conventional?
Well, that's a very interesting topic you bring up. In the era of the coon song, the lyrics would all be in black dialect for the most part. I can't imagine one that wasn't. And then when coon songs sort of evolved into more standard songs, popular songs, there wouldn't be necessarily anything that distinguished those lyrics from the lyrics of songs that came later, like the 20s or 30s. In fact, the conventional topics that were addressed in ragtime songs are the same topics that were addressed in all popular songs that came after. For example, love, boy meets girl, boy loves girl, but she doesn't love him. And then there were, of course, train songs, and there were songs about the South. How wonderful the South is. I wish I could go back there and be in my mammy's arms again. So, yes, right here.
When I grew up, I wasn't listening to ragtime, but we were listening to honky tonk. and Roadhouse.
Yes.
Were those just regional styles of ragtime, or were they known as something different? They all sound a lot to me.
Well, the word honky-tonk goes back quite a ways, but in the 1950s, there was this honky-tonk piano move. But really, it's just ragtime, but it was just a sort of a new and exciting, slightly salacious name. Same with Roadhouse. You know, there's all sorts of images that come up that don't have to do with high society. Yes? No, you. Okay. You're on.
For non-musicians, and there might be a few of us here, what did you do to Ode to Joy to make it ragtime?
I gave it that syncopated banjo pattern in the right hand. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. Okay. Yes, young man in the back?
Thank you. I had a piano once growing up that old upright, and then you could lower a board that had staples at the end, so you got that hockey tonk.
That's right, the mandolin rail.
What's it called?
It's called the mandolin rail.
And how did that evolve through ragtime?
Well, and at that time, in mechanical musical instruments, just having a player piano in a bar or restaurant wasn't enough. They wanted to have them play other instruments and sound like a whole orchestra. And so the very simplest thing they could do was have a mandolin rail, which came down so that between the strings and the hammers, so the hammers would have to hit this little piece of metal against the string. And so that would give it, I don't know what you want to call it, well, this mandolin sound. So that would increase the number of sounds. And then later ones would have pipes. It could sound like whole, and xylophones and drums, all kinds of wonderful things. So these are just ways of making the piano more versatile. Yes, sir?
Would the blues and the boogie woogie, would that have shown up before swing?
Oh, yes. That goes back to the ragtime era. The blues, I mean, like St. Louis Blues was published in Adam. 1914, and of course that was just this public.
And you know what it said on the cover.
That's right.
The most widely known ragtime composition by Bessie Andy.
Yeah, and so the blues were a tremendous influence. And of course, I thought about this. I don't know if it's true. Maybe Adam has more concrete ideas about this. But one of the things that distinguished the New York style of ragtime, I believe, is that it had a very strong influence of the blues, and so you'd hear blue scales and blue notes in New York style ragtime, more so than you would in the Missouri style of Scott Joplin. Any other questions? We have 4 minutes before our next wonderful performance. Yes, Monty?
You listed the places where you would hear ragtime, but I didn't say anything about bawdy houses.
Yeah, I had to leave that off because this is a family audience. Well, I mean, there's nothing special about the music that would have been played in a bawdy house, because live music was live music, and it was good. I mean, we got this idea from 1950s scholarship that ragtime grew up only in whorehouses and things. That's not true. You could hear it anywhere. In the nicest parts of town, you'd be hearing the exact same music. Maybe by the very same performers. You know. Any other questions? Well, thank you so much for your kind attention. I really appreciate your coming.